Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. You guys are going to be so thrilled. This week on the podcast, we have the fabulous and famous Jan Marini, who is a skincare icon. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. That's so kind of you, and I so look forward to this.
Amazing. Well, for people who don't know who you are and who the Jan Marini brand is, tell us a little bit about what defines you and your brand and what you've been up to.
Well, I've been a product researcher for well over 40 years. You know, back in the early days, I was an ingredient expert, and I used to do a lot of lecturing to physicians and medical professionals and skincare professionals, and I did a lot of radio and television. But as time went on, I began to develop association with physicians and researchers literally all over the world. And I started to focus more and more on uncovering, identifying breakthrough technologies. And probably one of the things that I became very well known for is that I was a glycolic acid pioneer in the early to mid 80s. And I will tell you, you couldn't walk into a department store or a drugstore and get glycolic acid. You could get it for cleaning stains off your driveway
or
grease car engines. And then around 1989, going into 1990, I financed and brought to market two product lines. And I'm going back a lot of years, so a lot of people may not remember this, but MD Formulations and MD Forte.
And I loved MD Forte. I remember it.
Yes. And it was unique for several reasons. Well, it was kind of the first glycolic acid line, but I made a decision that I was going to market these products into the physician marketplace. Physicians did not dispense product.
Mm-hmm.
It just did not happen. And it was probably, this is my fourth business. That was my third business. That was probably the most difficult time I've ever had in a career, because physicians were incensed that you would suggest that they carry, they would say, cosmetics. You want me to carry cosmetics out of my, not, didn't even call it skincare. Mm. And so, it was really, for a while, it was kind of an uphill battle. And even the medical societies, the associations, did not sanction selling skincare. And I remember the American Academy of Dermatology saying, well, if you want to do it, we're not going to go after you for selling it out of your office, but we don't condone it. And so it was looked at as, it's a very gray area.
What a paradigm shift now that almost every dermatologist, I would say, has skincare in their office, and physician strength skincare is such an important thing for patients. So you pioneered that.
Well, a couple of things happen. Now, first of all, I don't want to take away from the efficacy, because there are a lot of skincare products that are not efficacious, but there are some things that are truly efficacious and that can make a difference and really enhance the kinds of procedures and things that we do in various skin conditions. But the other thing that happened around that time was managed skincare, or excuse me, managed healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And managed healthcare was devastating to the medical industry in many respects, in that, say, a dermatologist that might charge $60 for an appointment was now getting $15, but their expenses were the same, salaries were the same. Mm-hmm. And so they began to seek out other discretionary income in order to supplement their practice. And so skincare became much more attractive. And then physicians began to realize that there really were products that had efficacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been in skincare for so long. What do you think is one of the most overlooked skincare ingredients that our listeners should incorporate into their regimens?
Well, I think that if you're going to pick one ingredient, and I don't think there's just one ingredient that does everything, but one of the ingredients that's really misunderstood is using a retinoid.
Yes.
And first of all, you get all the competitive rhetoric. Well, you can't wear them during the summertime. And we have these herbal products that are so much better and they're less irritating. And there's just so much misinformation. But the bottom line is that there's really nothing in the world that can actually correct the instructions coming from your DNA. And, when we look at aging in general, whether it's internal or external, it's really, we have our genes, some of our genes are expressive genes, and they express out information. It's like a blueprint, an instruction sheet. It's the only thing that our cells look at. It doesn't matter whether you have a broken bone or whether you have a sunburn or a disease. You're going to have it forever unless your body is able to interpret these instructions. And so they become damaged. And what happens is that as we get older, their instructions are compromised, so we don't repair the same way. And that's kind of the simplistic version of it. But a retinoid actually corrects instructions coming from your DNA. Mm-hmm. You have receptor sites for retinoids. You don't have receptor sites for various kinds of these other types of products that claim to do the same thing. And not only that, but we know that it thickens the dermis up to twice as much. Yes. And there's just, you know, it's a gold standard for acne, a gold standard for discoloration. And so I think it's very misunderstood. Now, with that, there are other things that actually potentiate retinoids and things that people do. I believe in really focusing on specific concerns as opposed to just kind of this, here's a product, it's a great product, and everybody should use it.
Right. Definitely. I think, but I mean, that's a great message, whether it's a retin A, retinaldehyde, retinol, just getting on some form of vitamin A derivative is going to be a big boost to any skincare regimen. With a lot of social media platforms like TikTok, we've seen the advent of all these skin influencers and more young people are experimenting with skincare. Are there some trends that you think have been terrible and you hope to never see them again?
Oh my gosh. I have to tell you, I do interviews a lot on skincare myths. So there's this huge list. You know, where do I even begin? It starts everything from putting toothpaste on a zit to skin taping at night. Yes. So that you don't have lines and wrinkles. And there have been cases of people removing the tape and tearing their skin off and creating scarring. Plus, you know, the idea is that you think, well, this is kind of like early Botox because I'm going to tape my face. And I don't know what type of tape necessarily people are using, but I'm going to tape my face and then it doesn't move at night. And the fact is that there are certain natural muscle movements you have at night in your sleep. Mm-hmm. And when you resist those movements, your body actually works harder to try to continue them. So you could exacerbate the very kinds of, you know, so-called lines and wrinkles that you're trying to prevent. And there's just all of these, you know, skin cycling, which is something that has some truth to it, but is misunderstood. There's just so many of them out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always been a lot of myths, but because of all the social platforms, when it hits something like TikTok, it just goes global overnight.
It really does. And I think people just want another thing to talk about, whether it's slugging or skin cycling, yes, or taping or, like, you know, dermabrasion, microneedling. Microneedling, of course, is one of my favorite things to do. Uh-huh. But I think there are some, you know, I see influencers preaching skincare and producing skincare, like singers, movie stars, that really have no business making skincare. Like, what did you think when the handsome Brad Pitt came out with a skincare line?
Well, you know, I think it's, in a way, it's understandable. Somebody wants to capitalize on their name. But here's kind of my philosophy. So I'm going to say this again. I don't want another product. I want a solution. And when I'm asked, well, what is it that motivates me to read all the medical journals and do the research and development and come up with the products? I say the same thing every time. You know, I don't want to have adult acne. I don't want rosacea. I don't want discoloration. I'd like to keep fine lines and wrinkles away as long as possible. I don't want another product. I want a solution. I don't think I'm different from anybody else. And the average woman has about $700 or more product in her bathroom that she doesn't use. And what happens is some product is promoted. Okay, this researcher, you know, it healed a wound or it did this miraculous thing. And so suddenly everybody wants it. And the question that you want to ask yourself and the question that every practitioner should ask, if there was something you could change or improve about your skin, what would it be? Now, people typically have their number one concern, okay? Maybe it's acne or it's discoloration. And then if you ask the question, what else would you like to change or improve? There's a runway of about three or four concerns. Mm-hmm. And if you were able to address every one of those concerns, I always say, think about how you'd feel about your skin. And that's where it should be, that somebody is using a product that has validation that actually addresses these concerns. No cure for acne, but we can control it 100%. No cure for rosacea, we can manage it. There's no cure for discoloration, but we can manage it. I mean, really, really dramatically make a difference. And so when you do that, not only are you have confidence in what you're doing and your self-esteem goes up, but you're not spending as much money.
Mm-hmm. Because you're very focused on a problem-focused approach and reaching out to that patient with that one solution for that problem. That's great. I love that you don't want another product. I mean, I definitely have like a 10-step regimen and I don't have energy for that every night. As much as I love skincare, maybe I'll do that on the weekends, but on a weekday, I can do about 4 steps and then I'm done, you know?
And, you know, and for some people, I always say, you know, you get this, the person that is speaking to the physician and the physician says, well, so what do you use in the morning on your face? I don't know. I throw some water on and I go over it with a washcloth. What do you do at night? I throw some soap on, maybe some makeup remover. Well, you don't start that person on 10 products or maybe even five or six products, but that's the thing. You start them on something that's really going to make a huge difference in a particular concern. And when they start seeing that progress and they say, wow, this is different than anything I've used, then they're going to be more committed to maybe focusing a little bit more on it and adding things into their program. So it's really, you know, we've been inundated with so many seductive products that don't really have any validation. And I'm not saying there aren't some good products out there, but again, it's really about wanting to have your skin to look more perfected and not feel like you have to cover it with makeup. Mm-hmm. And being able to really have products that have significant value.
In a way, the pandemic was like a relief for me to not have to worry about putting so much makeup on. I mean, we were really getting blasted by makeup influencers and YouTubers and all these beauty routines. And I was very glad to see that we were makeup free, and it really brought a focus back to skincare basics. So I think a lot of people loaded up on great skincare during the pandemic. How do we continue that? Now it seems like everyone's sort of at that point where they have $700 of product on their countertop and skincare sales have sort of slowed or plateaued. So as a businesswoman, what's our next move to help move skincare and get consumers to use these better products that work?
Well, you know, I think that it goes back to that, because it's whether or not a product is sticky, you know. So you buy a moisturizer and you say, okay, my skin looks softer and it looks smoother, it kind of glows. But in a few months, if you change to another moisturizer or you stop using it, it's not like all of a sudden everything changes. So that's not a sticky product. But I'll tell you, if you're using our Duality and you're able to manage your acne, you have complete total control over it. There's no cure, but you have complete total control. You stop using that product, your acne is going to come back. That's a sticky product. Mm-hmm. If you stop treating your discoloration, if you're able to get the discoloration to the point where your skin tone is so much even and it glows and it's so much brighter, you stop using that product, it's going to come back. So that's the thing, is that you really want to use sticky products. Sticky products are also products that I would say are kind of necessity products. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things maybe are nice to use, but are they really a necessity?
Right. Yeah, it boils down to, what do you really have to put in your travel bag that you can't live without that week, you know? Mm-hmm. And the right size, but it has to be the right product. You don't want to leave home your precious products that maintain you.
And, the other thing that I always emphasize is that two things. Number one, skincare doesn't replace cosmetic surgery. Now, that's a personal issue whether somebody wants to have cosmetic surgery, but cosmetic surgery doesn't give you good skin. And the other thing that, you know, I talk about a lot and get asked a lot is that, you know, there are limitations. For example, most of what we see in our lifetime, 90 to 95%, is sun exposure. when you start seeing the early signs of your skin changing, it's sun exposure. A lot of it happened before the age of 10. Mm-hmm. But with that said, there's also something called dynamic muscle movement. And, you know, crow's feet, the forehead lines and the parentheses lines, that's Botox. Mm-hmm. And what I really, really dislike is products that, you know, they have a heading better than Botox.
Yeah.
Products that claim to be neuromodulators that are going to somehow usurp the necessity to use Botox. And that's where you spend all this money on a product. It might be a $200 product. And then you find out that it really doesn't have that effect. Mm-hmm. And so it's, again, I think it's really being transparent and kind of empowering people to know what is going to really work and what doesn't work.
One of the things that I really dislike is seeing these ads that say 90% of women noticed, you know, great improvement in 4 weeks, or, you know, wrinkles gone in 4 weeks. I see this all the time. And I feel like the consumer is hoodwinked by those because they don't realize that that's just a poll of 100 women in a room who got a free sample. And of course, you know, 90% of them are going to say, yeah, my skin is so much better. My wrinkles are much diminished. And, you know, maybe they get to stay in the sampling group and stay part of the study. But I don't think the consumer realizes that those are not really scientific facts or studies. They're just surveys, right?
Yes, a lot of the time, you know, it is. And there are studies which do demonstrate some improvement. For example, you could go to their labs that do nothing but studies. And literally, they might have like this big book where you could say, well, I want to do a line and wrinkle study. And they might have like a clay-like substance. They'll put it on the skin before. They'll put it on the skin after. They might see some decrease in the appearance of lines and wrinkles. But mm-hmm. whether or not that is more hydration, whether that's temporary, even sometimes some erythema. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, but in the first 4 weeks, it outperformed a retinoid. Okay, well, in your first 4 weeks with the retinoid, you might be having some acclimation. But let's look at it in 3 months. Let's look at it 6 months. There's no way that you're going to see any equality. And it's with that way, another, you know, hero ingredient would be something like glycolic acid. Mm-hmm. I like glycolic azelaic acid. And those kinds of technologies have years and years of data, and they are just, really amazing in terms of what they're able to do for various skin conditions.
If that sounds like your top list of products that you must use, ingredients you must use. So glycolic, retinoic acid, vitamin C, I'm sure. What else is on that list?
Azelaic acid, salicylic acid, glycolic, that's a combination I like together. I do like vitamin C, but I like lipid-soluble vitamin C because there isn't the issue with redux, and you can use it with a retinoid, and it's completely stable. I like DMAE, dimethylamine ethanol, which good studies causes muscle shortening at the neuromuscular junction and actually does cause the skin to kind of pull up a little bit and give it more definition. I like some of the growth factors. Now, it's tricky to get growth factors in the skin, but, you know, I do have some secrets for that. But I like transferring growth factor beta 1. I like thymosin beta 4, which I have a patent on. I like interferon alpha 2b, which is an immune messenger your body produces, but they inject it for malignant melanoma, hepatitis C, and adult leukemia. But what it does is it appears to increase immune function in the skin. And the definition of aging is a loss of immune function and capacity in every organ in the body, including the skin. So it's another way that we can do that in terms of helping this to overcome or have the skin act in a younger manner. I really like working with things like cycloestrogenol, which we have in our booster product, which has to do with telomeres and telomerase enzyme. Mm. And I always say that telomeres are sort of like the granddaddy control panel. You know, they sort of trump the growth factors and peptides, because as you age, your telomeres, which come off the end cap of your DNA, they look like shoelaces. They yes. get shorter. And mm-hmm. the end of the telomere is like the telomerase enzyme. It's got a lot of chromosomal material and genetic material. There was actually a study where they soaked skin cells in telomerase enzyme and they never aged.
Really?
Now, we're not at that point, but there are things that we can do that actually can affect a little bit, stabilizing that telomere, which is somewhat fluid, and maybe adding a slight bit of length so that this, you sort of turn back the skin's aging clock. And that's sort of the premise of the booster. So it's really, what I like is I like a combination of things. You can't put everything in one product. That's right. That's another fallacy. You know, it looks like it's very seductive. It's got lipoic and it's got, you know, retinoid and it's got glycolic. You don't have enough room if you're going to really be efficacious. You also have differences in pH. So there's compatibility or incompatibility. You lose efficacy. And then finally, the different ways you have to manufacture different ingredients. And so I work with something called layer technology. So each product has things that are compatible. And so we're able to have that efficacy. So it's really about finding a way to kind of perfect the skin, so to speak. So you're addressing your concerns. And, you know, at the same time, you want your skin to look as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. Makeup optional. You know, I'm not wearing foundation now, but I rarely ever wear foundation. And so that's something that, and I come from having severe cystic acne. Hmm. I'm a 2-time Accutane failure.
Really? Wow, your skin's beautiful.
Well, thank you. And I work at it. And so, but, you know, that's, but that is something that, again, I think that everyone wants that type of a goal. And so when you spend money on products, that really should be sort of the end game.
It should. So we have products that exfoliate and turnover is cell turnover, the retinol, say antioxidant kind of beneficial products like the vitamin C. And then you mentioned, so transforming growth factor beta, DMAE, what was the immune one? The alpha?
Interferon alpha 2B.
Interferon alpha 2B. Oh, this is all the research I'm going to have to do later.
Yeah, there's
products that turn on cellular metabolism too. So the anti-telomerase boosting products.
Yeah, there's a lot of other ingredients that we have in our products. But again, it's really about zeroing in on what it is that that you really want to improve about your skin.
Yeah.
How do you want your skin to look?
What do you think about hydroquinone, one of my old-time favorites, which has come under a lot of fire this last few years?
So, you know, I have to tell you, I don't have anything against hydroquinone, although I believe it has its limitations in terms of some individuals, you know, how long it should be used. And I've had physicians say that, particularly that I have a physician in Southern California that treats a lot of Asian skin and feels that it kind of leaves a grayish cast over time. But again, I think hydroquinone can be very efficacious, but there's so much controversy.
Yeah.
And it's also not available easily in many parts of the world because there's been issues with hydroquinone with long-term use. Now, with that said, I've had physicians say to me over the years, well, but Jan, if you can come up with something that works as well or better, great. But, you know, we want to make the patient happy. We want something that has real efficacy. And so for years and years, I have worked on so-called skin lightening products and, you know, to, I guess, one degree or another of success. And I think where we really have had tremendous success with our Luminant product. And that there's a study that's been published in the Journal of Drugs and Dermatology, and it is a head-to-head half-face comparison with prescription hydroquinone. And we outperform prescription hydroquinone.
Nice. Wonderful.
And I'll tell you one of the reasons. Now, you know, primarily one of the things that you want to do is you want to have tyrosinase inhibitors, which essentially is what hydroquinone is. And that, but, you know, because for everybody that's listening and watching, one of the reasons that you have pigment at the very simplest level, access or discoloration, is because your body produces more pigment than you can get rid of. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with active tyrosinase. If you didn't have active tyrosinase, we'd be albinos. And so you go out in the sun and you can be outside for a minute. And depending on your ethnicity and your genetics and all of that, it stimulates active tyrosinase, which is one of the things that goes into the manufacture of pigment, throws off pigment. So we have to have tyrosinase inhibitors. But beyond that, we all have a melanocyte stimulating hormone. And what that melanocyte stimulating hormone does is first of all, we have the same amount regardless of our skin color. You may have more if you're pregnant or on birth control pills, but it plays a role genetically. And why does somebody go out for 10 minutes or sit in a hot car and they pigment and somebody else doesn't? And so for the first time, we have a peptide that downregulates that melanocyte stimulating hormone. And there's other technologies in there that really haven't been incorporated into a product before. So I think that's one of the reasons why we've been so successful working with pigmentation. With that said, mm-hmm. it's one of the most difficult areas.
Honestly, sometimes, if you can crack that code, you'll be
billionaire. And if you're working with dermal pigment, you know, the thing about pigment is that most of your pigment is epidermal. Mm-hmm. Meaning you can treat it topically because you're interacting with active tyrosinase. But if it's dermal pigment and it may look the same on the surface, it's like trying to remove a tattoo. You've got to get a laser in there.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people fail, is not analyzing correctly the depth of the pigmentation. And exactly. the treatment plan has to be different.
Exactly. And there's no cure. So you have somebody that says, well, gee, look what I've achieved. And then they stop you working with it topically. It's what you do every single day. And it may take, you know, some type of intervention with some type of device in order to really get to the end goal.
Are you a fan of chemical peels?
I am.
Yes, good.
I am.
Any thoughts or advice on that?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, chemical peels kind of go in and out of favor. And right now, I believe that they're sort of having a resurgence in popularity because it doesn't have to be a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. And you can do different levels and you can kind of customize them. It's something that is, it's relatively easy to work with and you can get some really spectacular results. And we have three different levels of chemical peels, but one of the things that we've done that's kind of unique and different is we have a sort of what I would call a retinol chaser at the end. So you actually put a liquid retinoid. So it's stronger and it penetrates, but you put that on at the end and you leave it on. So the patient goes home with it.
Nice. So, and patients do like peels. I think that feel it's therapeutic to see the old dead skin coming away. And you definitely get some great results with that for practitioners who don't have peels in their practice. I think that was an easy transformative thing versus buying a $100,000 laser, which you still need laser for certain things, but peels can do quite a lot.
Oh, it's really, I think it's underrated. And we've got before and after pictures, which really demonstrate that you can have some very dramatic results. And it's cost effective.
It really is. What do you think has been the most innovative skincare development in the past few years?
The most innovative skincare development in the past 2 years. You know, I'm going to say, and this is kind of off the top of my head.
I was thinking like, I don't know if you, what your thoughts are on exosomes or kind of that technology that works on the mitochondria of the cells.
Well, from a practical standpoint, I was going to say duality because of the acne epidemic. And the acne epidemic was not just because of mass, but, it's an epidemic among women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond. But I think you bring up a good point. First, it was stem cells. And stem cells are not viable to put into a skincare product. And that was really kind of annoying for a long time because you had companies that were claiming that they had skin cells. as our stem cells. It's not possible.
Right.
Now it's exosomes. Now the thing with exosomes have a lot of potential. But you're not going to get them in a topical home care product. There's two reasons. First of all, the technology just isn't there, regardless of what anyone says. But secondly, you've got to have, for an exosome to work, you have to have a channel. So if you're doing exosomes, there's a company called Benev that, mm-hmm. that actually you reconstitute it. And I think that there is some good data there. So if you're doing a channel like you're microneedling or you're doing laser and you're using it in combination with that, then I think that what you're probably achieving is you're going to have faster healing, less erythema, and you may have a better outcome. Now, the issue is, and the data hasn't demonstrated yet, that am I going to have long-term efficacy? Because in a sense, I haven't done something in which I'm going to create blood supply. Like, for example, if you do fat transfer, probably mm-hmm. one of the reasons why fat transfer works is because of the exosomes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a blood supply, then it's something that's going to continue to remain in the skin. So we're not certain when you apply these exosomes topically whether or not that is going to happen. But I think that there's some good value in terms of doing it with a procedure. And I think it's something where we're going to see that evolve as time goes on.
I think you're right. I think that definitely companies that are just saying they're producing exosomes that they can ship it to you in a stable bottled formulation, that we all have to be a little bit suspect to know where the exosomes come from, because typically they're harvested from human donor product.
Mm-hmm.
And then how stabilized are they? And then, like you said, you know, can it come to your house? And then can it penetrate the skin surface, or is it just mm-hmm. sitting on the surface topically? Does it do anything topically? So some studies show yes for redness, pigmentation, evening skin tone. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, everyone's still learning about exosomes. It's in its infancy, basically. But yeah, that's kind of promising. For those of you, people who don't know, exosomes are fragments of DNA
mm-hmm.
And sometimes ribosomal DNA that's found in cell extracts. And they actually act as little messengers that go out mm-hmm. to the cells all around them and send DNA messages to regenerate, rejuvenate. Reintegrate.
Yeah, they kind of, in a way, they can sort of re-educate cells.
And yes, so, make them behave example, more youthfully.
If you take fat from, say, an area where it's had very little sun exposure, like maybe, I don't know, the upper inside of somebody's thighs,
mm-hmm.
and you put that into the face, that it's not just that you create more volume, but oftentimes the skin looks younger. And the reason why is because those cells, which are actually kind of younger cells because they haven't had the same sun exposure, re-educate the other cells.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to think that that's because fat cells have stem cells, so many stem cells. But now we think that maybe it's not just the stem cells that are really having that effect, that it's exosomes.
Yes.
So it's really, you know, it's really fascinating and interesting. And I think that we barely scratch the surface in what we can do topically, and also what is going on in research in terms of what's going to be happening internally, which is literally sounds like science fiction, in terms of being able to have this regenerative effect that will affect the skin and everything. It's kind of like rebooting our DNA.
That's true. It's like a whole reset. It definitely is like science fiction, and people who are doing platelet-rich plasma injections, microneedling with that, you know, the exudate that we get when we spin down platelets, your own platelets have so many growth factors mm-hmm. that bathes your skin and transforming growth factor beta and all these different factors, which definitely improve circulation, plumpness. So I think it would be super interesting. There was someone who came out with a PRP skincare product at some meeting a year or two ago. And when I was in Vegas at the aesthetic show, I think I saw Paula Abdul was singing, and they brought out bottles with PRP skincare. And I just could not understand how that would even last more than 24 hours. And it was very curious to me. They harvested the patient's own PRP, stuck it in a cream, in a mixture. And I just thought that's going to be funky in a couple days.
Well, it's not only that, but I don't think people have any idea what products go through to be manufactured.
Yeah.
I can't even articulate it because it's just absolutely unbelievable to me how anybody could think that you can take something that is living like that or that needs to be under very careful circumstances, like when you do fat transfer and how you handle the fat, and then think you can put it in a skincare product where you're making huge batches and you're working with heat and you're working with all these different elements and speed, and that you're going to possibly have anything that is going to be efficacious in that respect. And you know, my vice president of R&D, Dr. Saxena, who is renowned in the industry. He actually was the person who put Retin-A Micro through the FDA. And he was also one of the inventors. He's on the patent with aminoluvulinic acid. And he's just been very prolific in terms of his inventions and his knowledge. He's an FDA expert. And we have discussions constantly when we see these things coming into the marketplace of how it just can't be.
Yeah. And the consumer doesn't know better. And even the average provider, physician, or med spa out there doesn't know better. Like this one company they were drawing people's individual blood, harvesting PRP. So it's your own product. Okay, that's not bad. But then sticking it in a jar of cream and expecting it to be viable or useful for more than 24 hours is very weird. It just does not have scientific background. So that's why it's beautiful to see all these textbooks behind you. And I can tell that they're well read. I love that you've brought that knowledge into what you do. Do you have advice for young entrepreneurs listening to this podcast? I mean, I can't even imagine taking, like, I have a skincare line. It's very baby level compared to what Jamarini is in every spa, yeah, in every city, in every country. So how do you even imagine growing to that scale?
You know, there's a couple of things. And first of all, I want to say that I've always, again, this is my fourth business, and I believe in something I call proof of concept. Now, when I was starting MD Formulations, everyone had a reason why that business was going to fail. Doctors weren't going to sell product out of their office, and nobody's going to use a product that has an amino acid in it, and on and on and on and on. And proof of concept to me is you only have to do something once. When I went out and I found that first physician that was enthusiastic about carrying the product, I knew I did that once. I could do it over and over again. And not only that, I would get better and better and better as time went on. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that we all like to think that we succeed because we have the best product. Nobody ever comes to you and says, Dr. K, we have the second best product. Carry our product, because everybody has the best product, right? True. And we always think, well, we're going to be successful because we have the best product. But in fact, you can have the best product and you can fail. What you have to be is you have to be the best company. Mm-hmm. And that means that you really have to understand how you're going to support and help your resellers to really be successful and to be, product that sits on a shelf doesn't sell itself. Mm-hmm. And there's education, yes, but it also is about the strategic aspects. It's about business and about being able to really support individuals. And, you know, we've been through this whole traumatic issue with COVID, mm-hmm, where people get cut off at the knees. They can't see patients in person. They can't do facials. The business just goes away. But how are we able to connect? And how are we able to monetize this in a way that makes sense? And so really helping individuals to be productive and to be really successful, I think that is so critical. And the other thing is, finally, is that, being an entrepreneur is exhilarating. It's really a joy. It's a passion, but it's also very frightening and very scary. Mm-hmm. You know, no one gets you out of bed in the morning. No one makes the decisions for you. Nobody takes on all of that responsibility. You know, no one does it for you, mm-hmm. but you don't have to do it alone.
Right. You do have to have a dream team around you. You definitely have to realize that you have to delegate and have a support system and build a little tribe around you, actually. That's also hard.
Oh, let me tell you something. One of the reasons why I'm an entrepreneur is because I love doing everything myself. And I used to write all my ads. I used to write all my educational manuals. I trained everybody. I carried a bag. I went out and did sales. I went to 40 medical conferences a year. I spoke all over the world. I mean, it was something that I loved doing. Mm-hmm. But at some point, if you're really going to succeed, you have got to be able to kind of take a step back and build an organization and have autonomy, or you're never going to get above a certain level. That is very difficult to do. And let me tell you, I've kissed lots of frogs along the way.
Yes.
Lots of frogs. And I was really blessed because about almost 15 years ago, a gentleman joined our organization who is our CEO, John Connors. And he's well known in this aesthetics market, but he's just such a tremendous leader and has such strategic vision. And you have to have somebody who doesn't change your vision, but is able to execute it and build that infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so he has been able to do that in spades. And I've been very, very fortunate that has had just a tremendous impact on our growth.
That truly is the next level of scaling, right? Because you've been there, you've done it all, but you can no longer, you know, have no more hours in the day. And then you have to, and then also you're a creator of sorts. You have to be the creative, coming up with the ideas.
You know, like there's lots of things that I love to do, but you kind of have to sit back and really be honest with yourself. What are you really good at?
Yeah.
It's not what can you do, but what should you do? Mm-hmm. And I have individuals in the organization that can write white papers, and they can submit articles to peer-reviewed journals. And I have a whole graphics team. Well, I'm not a graphics artist, mm-hmm. and I would prefer not to write a white paper. And so these are things that just take you to another level. And it's not easy to sort of stand back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've had your hands in the skincare business for 30, 40 years now, and you're really one of the skincare pioneers. And it's been such an honor talking to you today. I really love your passion. I can feel it.
Thank you so much.
Everything you said is just exactly right. We need a skin solution, not another product. That's something to keep in mind. And I can't wait for our viewers to reach out to you and follow this amazing lady. Where can people find you on all your social handles?
Well, our website, janmarini.com. And we do have a Facebook page, and we do have Instagram and all of that. And I do a lot of Instagram interviews. And also I have my own YouTube channel. So there's lots of ways to access and keep in touch with us.
Amazing. And I can't wait to see your new products coming up and coming out this year.
We do have some things absolutely on the drawing board, and even things for next year. I'll get killed if I talk about it, but I've got some things that are just, there's nothing like some of the things we're working on in the marketplace. And it's kind of a bridge between some of the drugs that we're seeing that are actually being used now for anti-aging, like metformin.
Wow.
But things that in along that genre that we can actually translate into a topical format. And so those some of the things that I'm working on, and it's unique and it's different. So,
well, that sounds like a second podcast coming up. A year from now, we'll talk again with the updates on longevity and skincare. Yeah. Well, that's it for now, guys. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my skincare line, which someday I'm going to grow to be as big as Jan Marini. Love you guys. Stay beautiful.